standing in the possibility of a dream like me, feeling me. What I know I never knew before, when I opened my heart, I opened up to explore.
Good evening, this is Elizabeth Joyce, co-host of Let's Find Out, and how is everybody this evening? Here on the East Coast, we have about a foot of snow, and we're expecting more. I'll bet all of you have heard about numerology, and that's where you take a number and it has a special meaning, like the number of your birthday or the number of your license plate or your house number. We know that they all have special meanings from 1 through 9, and then it goes around a cycle again. But I wonder how many of you have heard about nemiology. Now, this is a new science, and it has to do with our names at birth, our names given at birth, and how that combination of letters creates your personality. My guest tonight is Sharon Wythe, and she has written a book about this subject, and it's the foremost book on the planet. This is a brand new science that seems to be coming into being through Sharon's knowledge. So, Sharon, good evening. How are you?
Doing well. It's always good to be with you, Elizabeth.
And I am thrilled to have you here as well. I'd like to know how you discovered this science. This is really neat.
Well, it started when I was doing seating charts for my class. It was in my 7th year of teaching. And at the beginning of the school year, you know that how you arrange those children in your classroom, and we get 150 per year in 5 different classes, so it's 30 each, and how you arrange those kids makes a huge difference besides the first impression that you give them. And now after you know the children, it's much easier to do a seating chart. But at the beginning, you don't know them, and you're putting them in haphazardly. And I was watching my brain, and it was telling me things like, don't put that one next to that one, because together they'll be jokers. And
separate
will be okay. And it was saying, and this one will do okay in the front of the room, and that one will do okay in the back. And it took me a while to realize that my brain was doing exactly what I do once I know the children. But here it was the first day of school, and I didn't know them yet.
So and do you think that came from your intuition, or do you think that came from this science? It could have been your intuition, right?
I think there might have been a combination in there. But I really think it's because my brain, being a math major and teaching math, I was trained in patterns and sequences. And so my brain had picked up a pattern, and it was trying to exhibit it to me. And so I wrote down everything that it was telling me about every child, and I put it away until winter break because I wanted to get to know the kids for who they were first. And when I read my notes, I just was astounded.
My goodness.
It was accurate. I needed to figure out what my brain had already figured out.
That's wonderful.
It took me 15 years to figure out all the nuances.
So do you think that we as unborn souls really do pick our names before birth? What do you think about that?
Well, from my travels and from my studies, I can tell you that at one time when there were only 7 religions on the earth, before they all multiplied, divided, and spread, they all agreed on 10 things, and one of the things that they all agreed on was that the incoming soul impressed upon the one that was going to be naming them what they wanted to be called. So
I know that
that's
true.
You know, that we name ourselves.
I know that's true with my son, at least my second son. My first son, it was a done deal because he was being named the fourth, you know. So he was down the timeline. But my second son, actually the name was given to me the night I got pregnant. The night I got pregnant, I was given Jeffrey's name, that he was to be born, that his name would be Jeffrey, and that he would become a doctor. I had all of that in a vision the night that I became pregnant with Jeffrey. So that's incredible.
And from my travels, I've traveled to over 70 countries trying this out. And from my travels, I can tell you I have heard thousands upon thousands of stories, just like the one you just told me, from different parents.
So So how do these letters determine a personality? If I gave you the first, middle, and last letter of my son's name, could you tell me about him?
Yes, I can tell you some, just what those letters mean, but I'll have them out of context because it's important.
So that's just a part of it, you're saying. Well, let's see what happens. It's J-R-V.
V like very is the last letter?
Yes.
Okay.
Actually, there's two words to his last name.
Okay, so what those letters and those positions would tell me is that he came in with a natural knowing, and that people could ask him questions, and he would give answers, and they would say, how do you know that? Because they would just be amazed at what he knew. And he'd be thinking, and how do you not know that? Because it was just intuitive to him, all right? He would also have a rebellious spirit, not wanting to be told what to do. He would also be a seeker of truth and wanting to have the truth. It's like a sword, the edge of truth that he's going to go about and not like it when people lie to him and not really want to give them a second chance when they do.
Absolutely true.
And the other thing, looking at the last letter that you gave me, it would tell me that he would have some natural charisma or sex appeal, and people would remember him as being sexy, you know, or being appealing. Because our
I don't think they look at him as sexy, but he does have a charisma, and he has a calmness about him that makes you feel good.
Yeah,
a calmness calms everybody down, like a leader type thing.
See, that's fabulous. And I look at it that the last letter of the first name tells us the lasting impression that we give to others. So that's the first thing that they talk about. When they say, oh, do you know this person? What are they like? You usually start with the impression that the lasting letter gave you.
Oh, so they would say that he was good looking and that he seems very kind. That's what I hear all the time. Now, his last name is two words. It's Van in Norwegian, so it would be V-I. And there's your vowel. That's the only one that has the vowel.
Well, the Van would have a vowel of A.
No, the first letter I meant.
Oh, okay.
You're doing the whole thing. So there's Jeffrey Richard Van in Norwegian. It's J R V I. But that's really it's such a wonderful concept. Can you give us an example of what these letters mean?
Sure. I'll give you an example of the S and the J and the W.
Mm-hmm.
They all mean wisdom in a different aspect of wisdom, because there's always more than one letter that will designate an attribute, but they show you different parts of that attribute. So J, when it comes at the beginning, I'm doing first letter of the first name, and the J stands for brilliance or natural knowingness and really just being very intuitive and what I would call street smart. It means that they just know things and they know how things work. And so that's one type of intelligence. Then the S is what I consider school smart. It means they can learn anything once they're shown the basics, once they got the foundation. And it's interesting because if you're teaching someone whose first name starts with an S and you're showing them how something works, the minute they catch on and they get it, it's like, go away, leave me alone. Now I can do what I want to do the rest myself. And so, the S is what I represent as school smart. And the W is, in my head, I keep it as wisdom, but it's experience smart. They have experiences, and they don't like to make the same mistake twice. So experience teaches them, and they constantly are making new mistakes, but they don't repeat something that didn't work for them. So they learn from experience.
And you know what? Learning from experience, I know somebody that seemed to know a lot about this a long time ago. Let's listen to Perry Como sing a song for us.
A. You're adorable.
B.
You're so beautiful.
C.
You're a cutie full of charms.
D.
You're a darling. And
E.
You're exciting.
F.
You're a feather in my arm. You look good to me.
H.
You're so heavenly.
I.
You're the one I idolize.
J.
We're like Jack and Jill.
K.
You're so kissable.
L.
Is the love light in your eyes. M. N. O. P.
You could go on all day.
Well, there he is. He seemed to know a lot about it way back then.
Well, you know, I think letters are fun, and I think intuitively we get a sense, because if you have certain characters in a movie or a book that have a name, we can buy into that character as long as their name to us says, yeah, somebody with that name could do that action. But sometimes when a movie fails or we don't just tie into a book, it's because the name that the characters were given, subconsciously we know that that name, that character couldn't do what the author is having him do. And so we don't buy it.
That's
I think subconsciously we know about names.
Do you think it's similar to astrology?
There's a lot of similar information that you can get out of a name, like things that you get out of astrology.
Well, I know that Carl Jung always believed that if you have two people together with the same moon sign, that they would do very well, especially on the job. So I wondered if there were two letters that could go together and have some harmony.
What you look at for harmony is the first vowel and the first name. And we have six vowels, A, E, I, O, U, and Y. Mm-hmm. And you, if you have the same vowel, then it's the easiest ones to understand because they communicate the same way you do. And then I usually put them on a circle or a wheel. And the ones that are next to each other do very well. They're complementary. And you are most challenged by the one across from you because they look at things most different than you do.
Now I wanted to ask you a question. Do nicknames count? Because when I was younger, I was called Beth, which is B-E-T-H. And my son was Jeff, J-E-F-F. And we got along like hand and glove. Later, when I changed my name to Elizabeth, our relationship changed. Do you think that that had to do with the letters? In a sense?
I don't think it had to do with communication because in both cases you have the first vowel of an E and so does he, which means you communicate the same. Mm-hmm. I think it had to do with the rest of the letters in Elizabeth versus the letters that are in Beth.
Yeah, that's what
and
I was asking you.
With the F and Jeff.
So do you think that with the name that it's possible to determine what you can do with your character or maybe what talents you have? Whether you're artistic or more math-oriented?
Well, every letter has gifts that come with it and has challenges that come with it. So you can truly look at a name and say, this person came in with these gifts and talents and came in to learn these specifics, all based on the letters and their placement.
That is so fascinating. And we're going to talk a lot more about this as soon as we come back.
Wisdom Magazine is one of the country's largest free holistic publications with 150,000 copies printed monthly in three regional print editions. Wisdom is dedicated to opening people's hearts and minds to the philosophies, products, and services of the new millennium. Visit us at wisdom-magazine.com to view our web edition.
This is Elizabeth Joyce, co-host of Let's Find Out. Next week, Bonnie McDade and I will be speaking about the power of the soul. The way to heal, rejuvenate, transform, and enlighten all life. This is by use of raising your vibration and using the new fifth dimension energies. It's an exciting time, and we are all welcoming these wonderful new waves of energy as they come on the planet. Something magical is happening beyond mind over matter as we enter the universe of soul over matter. We are now leaving the me generation and embracing the we generation. Let's learn how to heal and transform the soul first, then the healing and transformation of every aspect of life will follow. Don't miss it next week, 9 p.m. Eastern on Let's Find Out. Bonnie McDade and I will be discussing healing the soul.
The Bucks County Metaphysical Association, BCMA, is a nonprofit organization focused on teaching love, self-care, and self-responsibility by sharing our talents with others to enhance and serve the community. The BCMA does this by providing holistic health care and metaphysical programs, by keeping people informed about issues that affect the health and welfare of the community, and by generating lectures and events to support the local Bucks County charities. We're beginning our fourth year of community service and are known as the Metaphysical Education Center of Bucks County. Please join us for our upcoming lectures and events. Not only will it be informative, fun, networking, and community sharing, but you will also be supporting some wonderful charities. We look forward to seeing many of you on the third Wednesday night of every month at 7 p.m. at the Circle of Miracles Church, 10 Beulah Road, New Britain Township in PA. For a list of our charities, please visit our website, www.thebcma.net. Elizabeth Joyce was born with the gift of knowledge and the gift of healing, and she has studied with some of the world's best teachers to perfect her gifts. Elizabeth believes that knowledge is the key to the soul, and she's created a teaching and informative website. The website, new-visions.com, has more than 1 million visitors since 2005, and Visions of Reality can help you guide your future by working within. Elizabeth teaches developing intuitive awareness classes, and she writes informative articles and books, as well as personal one-on-one counseling with her psychic awareness. For more than 30 years, she has worked with clients worldwide to help them reach their highest potential. She removes blocks, talks with the other side, performs regressions, and clears haunted spaces. She'll guide your finances, love life, relationships, and family life, empowering you to move forward and create a life of balance and pleasure. So visit new-visions.com for more information. Have you ever gone into your local health food store looking for something that didn't exist? Blossom Spring Natural Health Solutions was born out of such a need. As a master herbalist and board-certified holistic health practitioner, I've created a line of herbal remedies and beauty products that have been overlooked by other companies. All-purpose Blossom Salve is the herbal answer for wound care. Use it on minor cuts, burns, abrasions, bug bites, and bee stings to kill germs, ease pain, and promote the reproduction of healthy new skin cells, all without introducing harsh chemicals or petroleum products into the wound. Youth in a Jar is an all-natural herbal facial complex designed to promote a healthy, youthful complexion by reducing fine lines and age spots while increasing elasticity and refining pores. Everything you want for your face in one product. Blossom Spring products are created with all-natural and organic ingredients to promote health without destroying valuable flora. Just the way it was when time began, just as nature intended it to be. Blossom Spring is a registered trademark.
Elizabeth Joyce and Bonnie McDade will be speaking and doing private readings and vibrational healing sessions on the Cruise to 2012 Seminar at Sea on March 5th to March 12th, 2011. We are sailing from Los Angeles to the Mexican Riviera. It will take place at the time of the Mayan calendar moves into the ninth wave, the ninth evolutionary progression, or the underworld, which happens on March 9th. This is the last and most significant wave on the Mayan calendar when humanity moves into universal consciousness. The last two waves were hit in 1999 and in 1755. This next one will cause a huge shift in consciousness. We will be celebrating this new wave on the cruise. Some of our awesome speakers include Carl Joan Kallman, the foremost expert on the Mayan calendar and author of The Mayan Calendar and the Transformation of Consciousness, Damian Brinkley, Jim Mars, Richard Hoagland, Chandra Ray, Michelle White Dove, Susan Chomsky, and Michael Corey. Plus, there will be an amazing Peruvian Incan shaman named Malaku. I am really excited about being a presenter on this cruise, and I want you to join me. Please consider it. We are going to have a fantastic time. Email me at Elizabeth_Joyce@Verizon.net or call me at 201-934-8986 for more information. Also, you can go to www.cruiseinto2012.com. Hope to see you aboard.
You're listening to bbsradio.com. If internet radio has a name, it's BBS Radio, the number one live internet talk radio network on the planet. This is Let's Find Out with your hosts, Elizabeth Joyce and Bonnie McDade. We're coming to you live every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. If you'd like to call in and ask a question, dial 888-815-9756 in the U.S. and Canada. That's 888-815-9756. Now, if you're just tuning in and you'd like to hear this rebroadcast in its entirety, a recording of the show will be available tomorrow by clicking on the archive link on the Let's Find Out page on bbsradio.com. And now, let's find out with our hosts, Elizabeth Joyce and Bonnie McDade.
And this is Elizabeth Joyce, and we're back with Sharon White, and we're talking about a very fine science called nameology. Sharon, does our name affect our behavior as well as our thinking pattern?
Yes, it affects how we think, how we feel, how we behave, how we're going to react. Unless you learn your natural rhythms and then mentally choose to repattern yourself, it gives us the pattern of somebody's behavior choices and what they're going to do.
Now, how can you do that? How can you repattern yourself? I'm really interested about that.
You repattern. A lot of people will do that through meditation and spiritual practices.
Because of their name. They won't change their name.
If they don't want to change their name to help them with a new vibration and pattern, then they'll do it through spiritual practices and meditation and conscious awareness that this is what my pattern is and the willfulness then to break it or to change it.
Now, what would be an uncomfortable name? Somehow I'm getting the name Stuart or Stephen. Is that an uncomfortable name?
Well, what both Stuart and Stephen have in common is the challenge of being stubborn where the stubbornness can get in their way, but they also have persistence. So those are the ones that if they want to do something that takes a lot of schooling, like a chiropractor, a physician, a dentist, whatever, they would have the perseverance to stick to it. You know, they don't give up easily.
What name do you think is a tough name to be born with, for example?
I think there are some hard names, but they can be counterbalanced in the last name. For me, a hard name would be the name Bruce.
Bruce.
Bruce. Okay. And if you think about the Bruces through history, you think about Brutus back in Roman times, you think about the manliness of actors or Popeye and Bruce, Brutus. And you know,
I knew a Bruce Birch.
And there's a Bruce Willis.
Bruce Willis. Yeah, he's a toughie.
Yeah, and the really masculine macho guys seem to have the name of Bruce. But in the name Bruce itself, unless there's something in the middle name or last name to counterbalance it, is competitiveness mixed with paranoia. And the paranoia is that somebody might be better than them or get ahead or stop them in what they're wanting. And also it's control issues. So they have this need to be in charge and control and very competitive and paranoid at the same time.
What would be a strong name to counteract that? Like Bruce would be fighting with Charles and Charles would win? Or Bruce would be fighting with Amy and Amy would lose? Is that how I'm trying to get the names together?
Well, and Amy would definitely lose with a Bruce. A Charles can hold their own. They work in a different way, but they can hold their own. But what you would really want to look at is what do you need in the last name to counterbalance the Bruce? Because Bruce is so strong. And if there is a BR combination in the last name, it means that they grew up in a tough environment, and therefore they learned what it feels like to be the recipient of all that toughness and that competitiveness. And so then they balance it out and say, I don't want to do that. You know, because I've learned through experience what that feels like to be on the receiving end.
Bruce Willis and Bruce Birch. So Bruce Willis and Bruce Birch. Bruce Willis would probably have an easier time of it than Bruce Birch. According to the letters.
Bruce Willis is going to learn from experience. Where Bruce Birch is going to have a harder time realizing what's illusion and what's real.
Yeah, that would be true. That would be true. So where can people use nameology science? It's really fascinating. And are you going to be teaching it, Sharon?
I am. I don't have another class until the beginning of March, but I do teach it. It takes 15 hours to teach what took me 15 15 years to figure out. And, you know, I look at the irony of that. Mm-hmm. But we'll be teaching it over, like, a teleseminar, so you can be located anywhere and join the class.
That's wonderful. So we'll have to get all that information out to our listeners. We can do that with a Constant Contact. You just let me know what the details are, and I'd be happy to do that. But what can benefit most of my listeners? What do they need to know about this science?
Well, the nicest thing about namology is it gives you a hint into why you do certain things. And the first name is the essence of who you are. Your middle name is your intermediate characteristics. And your last name represents your environment and how your environment plays on you. So it's like the essence of who you are and your first name, it drops into an environment, and then you have that action together.
Huh.
And so the advantages is, one, you get to know yourself better. But the other thing is, I find that you can compare two names and see where the challenges are going to be between how one person behaves and another person behaves.
So you could do that with husband and wife, or you could do that with sisters. As you know, I'm an identical twin, and my older sisters were identical twins. And they were Nancy and Clara May. And Clara May was the weaker one of the two of them, in a way.
Well, in Clara's name, she had where she was going to self-sacrifice more.
That's
so
right.
So you may look at it as weaker. She's just willing to self-sacrifice for the good of the whole more than Nancy is.
Well, I meant she didn't put up an angry front when I said that.
Right, because she's willing to self-sacrifice to keep peace.
Okay.
No.
Interesting.
But that would be intermittent. But see, with a name that ends in an A, like Clara May does, the first is A. And
no,
the
it ends in a Y.
Right, at the end. But it's a natural break between Clara and May.
No, so it's all one word.
Right, but you go by the sound along with the spelling. And
okay.
So you're looking at the A for Clara, and you're looking at the Y for May. And
Clara
both
May.
Of those letters, yeah, both of those letters state that I need outside approval. I need other people to like me.
Okay.
And so I'm going to adjust or accommodate so that other people can like me, because that need is very strong. And both
yes.
of those letters in those two positions say that.
And that was true of her. And Nancy? Nancy also ends in a Y.
Yes, but see, when you're looking at the letters, you learn them in their purity, and then you learn how they interact. Because just mm-hmm. as you would have two people sitting next to each other in a classroom, if they get along, they act one way, and if they don't like each other, they act a different way. So you learn from what letters are next to each other whether that person's going to give up control, keep control, and whether that issue is going to come out the same as what I call the letter in its purity. And in Nancy, she doesn't have the same sacrifice in the name as Clara May.
Mm-hmm. We have a call coming in for you from Marilyn, and she's in Illinois.
Hi, yes.
Good evening, Marilyn.
Hi, you can hear me okay? Yes, hi.
What is your question?
I'm just wondering if you were on the track that I was thinking about. Two people have the same name.
Okay.
In
and what
different...
would that name be, Marilyn?
This is just theoretically speaking.
Okay. If two people have identical names, sometimes they'll have a name that's different as like a junior or a senior or the second or the third, and all of those would make a difference. However, you're going to find the same qualities that bleed through on the people that have identical names. It's interesting to go into the Google or the name searches and to put in what I want to say is a fairly common name, and see all the different people that have that name, and you're reading, like in a LinkedIn, a website or something, and you read what they're doing. And so often you see that there is a thread through that name that so many of them got into the same field because they have those mm-hmm. same energies working with them.
And, of course, we do that with birthdays as well.
Sure.
For example, my son was born on Einstein's birthday, and he's a doctor. I found that fascinating.
It is fascinating. I wish I knew astrology like you do.
Yeah, that well, I do know. Marilyn, thank you very much for your call. We have to go to a commercial break now, and we'll be back shortly.
Ascension, Accessing the Fifth Dimension, The Truth About 2012. This is a new book by Elizabeth Joyce. People are being shaken awake. Sometimes it takes a kick in the pants to wake us up. Looking from a higher perspective, we are experiencing birth pangs of a higher consciousness, the fifth dimension. The three spatial dimensions of height, width, and length, along with the fourth dimension of time and timelessness, we are familiar with. But what is the fifth dimension energies? Mark Dodich, astrologer, says, if you are opening to a greater spiritual dimension of your inner self, then this is the book for you. Ascension, How to Access the Fifth Dimension. Go to www.new-visions.com or amazon.com and get the book. It's a must read.
The Bucks County Metaphysical Association, BCMA, is a nonprofit organization focused on teaching love, self-care, and self-responsibility by sharing our talents with others to enhance and serve the community. The BCMA does this by providing holistic health care and metaphysical programs, by keeping people informed about issues that affect the health and welfare of the community, and by generating lectures and events to support the local Bucks County charities. We're beginning our fourth year of community service and are known as the Metaphysical Education Center of Bucks County. Please join us for our upcoming lectures and events. Not only will it be informative, fun, networking, and community sharing, but you will also be supporting some wonderful charities. We look forward to seeing many of you on the third Wednesday night of every month at 7 p.m. at the Circle of Miracles Church, 10 Beulah Road, New Britain Township in PA. For a list of our charities, please visit our website, www.thebcma.net.
Let's Find Out is looking for winter and spring of 2011 guests for our show on bbsradio.com. This is a special opportunity for you. Do you have a life-changing product or service such as coaching, books, holistic products, workshops, animal psychics, or anything at all that you would like to advertise? Here's your opportunity to prominently present yourself before a worldwide loyal audience of Let's Find Out. A fee is required to be included in this exciting promotional lineup, and the proceeds enable you to be advertised all week on Let's Find Out and Facebook, and to receive your show archive for you to put on your website. Let's Find Out is a life-changing show and home to many groups throughout the world with several worldwide affiliates. We discuss holistic health modalities, energy healing, psychic sensitivity, the paranormal, past lives, keeping healthy naturally, and other metaphysical subjects. We have a great listening audience, and we utilize a 3,000-plus email list every week to promote our guests. This is really a great way to advertise yourself and your business. We send out an email to our extensive fan base promoting your appearance on Let's Find Out. BBS will provide an archive within 24 hours after your show airs, free for you to download and share. As a guest, you will be able to advertise your appearance on your website blog, as well as to email and invite all your contacts. Let's Find Out will keep an archive of the pod show along with your website link. Let's Find Out will forward any and all email from their listeners to you after the show regarding your airtime so that you can add this to your email and contact list. Let's Find Out thank you for taking the time to being a guest on our show. To query us, please send us an email to elizabeth.joyce.radio@gmail.com and we will be happy to contact you. Thank you.
Spirit Flight, Claim Your Joy and Your Health Will Follow, was born out of the idea that we're all made up of three things: our conscious thinking mind, our spirit, and our physical body. There are many books out there which address any one of these things separately, but many times they're too deep or difficult to read. Spirit Flight contains clear, helpful information for all the components of you, put together under one cover in an easy-to-read and understand format. Now, wouldn't we all like a manual for living a complete, balanced, and happy life? This book is full of exercises and resources that describe how to make simple adjustments in your life that help you take charge of your own well-being so that you can reclaim your joy and your health. In a special chapter called Practical Application, you can look up any health issue and you'll find herbs, vitamins, and dietary suggestions, along with emotional and energetic reasons for the illness, plus affirmations for changing the energy. That's pretty complete. So if you've been struggling with your health, your wellness, or you just want to find balance and joy in your life, read Spirit Flight. Claim your joy and your health will follow, by Bonnie McDade.
Elizabeth Joyce and Bonnie McDade will be speaking and doing private readings and vibrational healing sessions on the Cruise to 2012 Seminar at Sea on March 5th to March 12th, 2011. We are sailing from Los Angeles to the Mexican Riviera. It will take place at the time of the Mayan calendar moves into the ninth wave, the ninth evolutionary progression, or the underworld, which happens on March 9th. This is the last and most significant wave on the Mayan calendar when humanity moves into universal consciousness. The last two waves were hit in 1999 and in 1755. This next one will cause a huge shift in consciousness. We will be celebrating this new wave on the cruise. Some of our awesome speakers include Carl Joan Kallman, the foremost expert on the Mayan calendar and author of The Mayan Calendar and the Transformation of Consciousness, Damian Brinkley, Jim Mars, Richard Hoagland, Chandra Ray, Michelle Whitedove, Susan Chomsky, and Michael Corey. Plus, there will be an amazing Peruvian Incan shaman named Malacu. I am really excited about being a presenter on this cruise, and I want you to join me. Please consider it. We are going to have a fantastic time. Email me at Elizabeth_Joyce@Verizon.net or call me at 201-934-8986 for more information. Also, you can go to www.cruiseinto2012.com. Hope to see you aboard.
You're listening to bbsradio.com. If internet radio has a name, it's BBS Radio, the number one live internet talk radio network on the planet. This is Let's Find Out with your hosts Elizabeth Joyce and Bonnie McDade. We're coming to you live every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. If you'd like to call in and ask a question, dial 888-815-9756 in the U.S. and Canada. That's 888-815-9756. Now, if you're just tuning in and you'd like to hear this rebroadcast in its entirety, a recording of the show will be available tomorrow by clicking on the archive link on the Let's Find Out page on bbsradio.com. And now, let's find out with our hosts, Elizabeth Joyce and Bonnie McDade. It's time for the Metaphysical Book Corner. This week, our recommendation is The Immortal by J.J. Dewey. This is a book about God's love for humanity and all the ways that we tell ourselves we don't deserve it. This nonfiction novel follows a woman through her illness to healing and shows us her spiritual journey to her real self. We follow along with her and we see how much time she wasted believing she wasn't worthy of God's grace. And we feel for the husband who loves her to within a hair's breadth of his own mortality. If you're finding it difficult to recover from an illness or addiction, or if you're a true seeker of the meaning of life, this is a must-read. The Immortal by J.J. Dewey. Pick it up. You'll be glad you did.
Kathy Lane Silver telling us that she's in the fall. This is Elizabeth Joyce, and this is Let's Find Out, and I'm on with Sharon White. And Elaine is telling us she's in the flow, Sharon. She's probably using nameology.
Well, a name with Elaine would have a really good sense of self and who she is from the very beginning of when she first came in.
Now, let's talk about boyfriends and girlfriends. How would you know if you met somebody, a new date, whether they would meld with you with their name and your name? And are you ready to marry a future disaster? How do you know that?
Well, you would do a comparison. Once you know nameology, you would literally do a comparison of the letters and the placement and see whether they are compatible or whether they are constricting. There are certain letters that say, I cannot bend, I cannot change. And so if you want to date somebody and change them, and they've got those letters in their name, then you already know, I can't change them. I won't have an influence on them. There
are three examples of those letters? What are three of them?
Well, the most dominant one that you cannot change when somebody has an X, you're not going to change who they are. You're not going to change how they do something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's their way. And it's their way or the highway. And so sometimes it doesn't bother you. You say, I like their way. And I like that strength. So you say, fine, that doesn't bother me. Other letters and names say, hey, I need to have a time when it's my way. You know, but the X says, when we agree, that's your 50%. And when we disagree, that's my 50%. So in other words, he's always getting his way.
So, what about a D?
A G?
Mm-hmm.
A G person is someone who, depends on where it is in the name, but if it's the lead letter, it means that I like change. So I need to create change just for the sake of change if there's not enough natural change in my life. Therefore, if you have in your name letters that like stability, you're not going to be with somebody who has a G that wants change. On the other hand, if you have in your letters that you want excitement and adventure, then you're going to be attracted and say somebody with a G is going to be willing to change and be flexible and keep adapting. So it's really a comparison between the two names to see what it is in your name that you like and what it is that you don't like, and then you compare with the letters in the other person's name.
So do you think your future is in your name, or can you take a nickname and change that vibration?
Well, a nickname says what parts we want somebody. Okay? So if I want, that's the part, whoever's calling me that nickname, that is the part that they see from me, and they don't want to see the letters that they just got rid of in my regular name. They don't want to see those qualities that go with that. And we can, through a nickname, or we can, through our own consciousness, choose to ignore or put off until later the lessons that come with certain letters. But your birth name letters are going to be one way or another. It's a matter of when, not if.
So if we're back to the boyfriend and back to meeting the new guy, for all you singles out there, are there letters that make somebody more likable, more attractive to you, and then maybe would balance or would not balance out later? Are there illusion letters, Sharon?
There are illusion combination of letters. Mm-hmm. For an example, if you have a consonant, then the vowel U, and then the letter R. Now, it has to be a consonant, then the UR. Okay?
Would that be like Doug?
Like a Bert.
Okay.
Okay, it's a consonant, then a U, then an R. Not like a Courtney, which is a vowel, O-U-R.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Those people have a harder time seeing truth. Illusion and truth are confused in their minds unless they have something else in their name that counteracts this. And so if you want to see truth clearly and always want to be upfront and honest, you don't necessarily want to be with somebody who has a hard time seeing what the truth really is.
So that would be Burt Reynolds.
Like Burt Reynolds. On the other hand, though, those people that have those combinations have great imagination. So if they go into jobs where they're acting or writing or need an imagination, they're perfect for those jobs, because they see it all as real.
Wait, there's a lot to this. It's a lot like astrology. There's a lot to it. How do people interact with each other with this name thing? How would a personnel director be able to say, well, Jane and Sally can work together, but Amy and Susie can't? How would they know that?
All right. Well, as the examples you gave, everybody would be able to work together.
You would
know that because you look at the vowels, the first vowel and the first name. Mm-hmm. And you primarily look at those vowels and you look at the communication style. And each of those six vowels have a different communication style. And there's certain ones that are naturally adaptive to the other ones and certain ones mm-hmm. that are in conflict. So let me give you an example. Let's say that the first vowel is an A. That means that that person is very mentally oriented. They come in driven by the work, which means come in, let's get our work done, then we'll visit and chat. Okay? Now the E is let's visit and chat, then let's get our work done. Okay? And so it's really the A person in that particular scenario that needs to learn to adapt to the E person. The E person is not going to learn to adapt to the A. So then you've got to look at the rest of the letters in the A person's name to say, is this person flexible and willing to adapt? Okay? So you're looking at vowels. If the vowels are complementary or the same, you know that they're going to get along. They're going to have the same communication style. If the vowels are opposing each other, then you know, unless there's something else in the name to balance it, that there's going to be more conflict.
So you look more at vowels than at consonants, and that's part of the science of it?
Well, our emotions lie in our vowels, and our attitudes lie in the consonants.
Okay. Now, if I have a baby and I want my baby to get along with everybody in the family, can mnemology provide a science to give a name to the child?
It can. My suggestion, though, is that you allow the child to name itself and impress upon you the name that they want, and then you can tweak some of the letters in the spelling to give them a heads up so it's easier.
Oh, that's just very interesting. I remember helping a lady get pregnant. I do that with my work, and so we got her pregnant, and I told her she was having a girl, and she wanted to be called Michelle. No, she wanted to be called Melissa. And I remember saying it over and over again. And the mother wound up calling her Marissa, which was fine. But it was interesting. Because they do, the soul does impress the name. And if you're a good psychic, you can tell what the name of the child wants to be called when you're working with the mother during the pregnancy.
If you're a good psychic, yes.
That's good. So what about the...
Every means available to get their name out there.
I didn't hear you.
I said the child will use every means available to let the one naming them know what they want to be called, whether they come through because a psychic tells them, whether they come in a dream, whether all of a sudden they get a strong impression, they meet somebody right ahead of time that impresses them. Some way the soul's going to get it across what they want for a name.
Right, and sometimes the mother has to look at the baby and the name will just come telepathically after the baby's born. And some people do that with their animals as well. They have to see the animal before they can name it.
Well, and I've heard hundreds of stories of where the parents had a name in mind, and once the child was born and they saw the child, you're right, they immediately went, oh, it's not one of these. This child wants this name.
They couldn't call it that. Do our names affect our behavior or our thinking patterns?
Yes, it'll tell you whether how you behave, whether it's more emotional, more heart-based, where the weaknesses are, where the illusions are, where you see clearly, where you don't see clearly. It also says what your learning style is, whether you're a visual learner, a kinesthetic learner, or an auditory learner, which is real help when I'm in the classroom or when anybody's in the classroom, because you immediately know what style your students learn from and then how to present to meet that style's needs.
Please give the website of how people can find out more about this, Sharon.
It's knowthename.com, because once you know the name, you know a lot about the person.
So knowthename.com, and you're going to be scheduling learning classes in this next month or so, correct?
Right. The beginning of March is when we start our next one. And the other thing I have for your readers is if they would like a session, for your listeners, if they would like a session, I am willing, if they schedule this next week, they don't have to schedule for the next week, but they need to make the appointment within this next week, I will give them an hour session for the price of a half hour.
Oh, and that's wonderful. So if you call Sharon before February 6th, she will give you this special break. And you can give out your phone number, Sharon, please.
Uh-huh. It's 210-355-6115.
Again, that was 210-355-6115. To make an appointment. And it's just, it's fascinating. It's fascinating and very controversial. It really is, because if you find out your name and then you can find out your husband's name, you can find out what's going on in the relationship, or if you're having trouble at work, you could find out about your boss and maybe how to work some things out with the boss, or even in school with the kids. Isn't that true?
Oh, it's very true. I was doing this one, I travel and give conferences and teach different corporations how to do this for their personnel. And I was doing a real estate firm out in Sacramento. And it was so cute because I said, okay, we're at the very tail end when you've learned how to do this, and now we're going to do the comparison of names. And a couple that was within that group said, oh, do us, do us. And I said, I just want to forewarn you. I say what's here. I don't pull any punches. And so they said, no, no, we don't have any secrets, do us. And there's a way of looking at the names and seeing how somebody views you from their perspective. So I was showing them that and said, the husband looks at the wife, and only one thing the wife does bothers him, and it's a minor thing. And then by the time I got to the wife, I said, now look at how her letters interact with his. He has my way or the highway, and he had a few other things. And I said, and what I do is I add years, different letters have years attached. So I said, I give this marriage 12 years because by then the wife's going to be tired of always trying to say he'll change, he'll adapt, I'll finally, you know, he'll look out for me. And I said, so I give this marriage 12 years. And the wife looked at me, looked at her mother-in-law that had scheduled me to come in and teach them, and said, this is the best workshop I've ever had to take. And then she looks at her husband and she goes, are you listening to her? Are you listening to her? Did you hear her?
But she couldn't make her listen. Anyway, it's been wonderful having you. I know you travel to different places throughout the world testing your findings, and I love having you as a guest. Thank you for giving us the time here at Let's Find Out. And I'm sure that we would love to have you back again, perhaps in the summertime, Sharon.
Great. I love it, Elizabeth. I love sharing with you and your listeners. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome. And we're going to be going into our meditation, which is about karma tonight. And remember, next week, Bonnie and I are on, and we're going to talk about how to heal and grow with your soul. Good night, and we'll see you next week.
You are preparing to raise your inner vibration to a higher level. Sit in a comfortable chair with both feet flat on the floor in a peaceful place. Close your eyes, relax your body, mind, and emotions. Inhale slowly and deeply. Retain the breath for as long as is comfortable. Exhale slowly and deeply. Do this over and over until it feels natural. In your mind's eye, recall and envision your earliest life memory. Follow this event, examine it, and let the remembering fill you. But simply witness it. Do not comment, compare, or judge. Then direct and follow and allow your mind to replay all the events you remember in your life. Watch the scenes as detached as you can, without any inner emotions. Witness as if you were watching a complete stranger's life story. As you see your life unfold, you may witness yourself being sentimental about people, places, things, or activities that you are recalling. Inwardly say and feel, I am now free of these events and am ready to accept the next moment. If you feel a strong relationship with a personal or universal divinity, you may find that it feels right to state, God, I am giving all this to you. It has always been and always will be yours. Thy will be done. If it's the right prayer, if it leaves you feeling like a part of the universe of Mosaic, filled with peace and ready for God to carry you away to eternal tranquility, then you are on the right track. This is an attitude more than just a recitation. Repeat your statements as often as necessary until you are so free of reactivity to the events that you are recalling and reliving. As you view the scenes of your life in your mind's eye, if you witness a nostalgic sentimentality towards any aspect of your life, you are not ready to join a higher power in the higher dimensions, and you will reincarnate again as a human. Your rebirth can occur now, or when your meditation ends, or sometime after your life ends. If you are empty of reaction to your individual life, you will be filled with a loving interaction with all life. What have you been carrying that you should have put down and left behind? Do you still harbor feelings of regret, anger, hate, disappointment, or any other negative feelings or fears that apply to events, people, or the things that are not here now? Why do you do this painful activity? Why do you cause separation from your blessed higher self or a higher vibration? Life can be equated to a boat ride, taking you from one shore to another. As the boat goes across the water, it leaves a wake in its path. This wake represents your past. And just like the wake of a boat leaves behind, doesn't propel the boat forward at all, your past doesn't drive you towards the other shore. What's done is done, if only you can be done with it. If you don't face the front of the boat and focus your attention in the present moment, you will not be able to avoid running into the icebergs and other potential hazards that could jeopardize your trip through life. Your karma is fulfilled and up to date at all times. Your clinging to the past and fantasizing about the future is what keeps you paying a karmic debt over and over again. Simply focus on this moment and witness the path your boat is traveling. This is action free of reaction and further karma. Relax. Melt into your comfortable meditative posture. Focus on your breath and feel and witness its entry, retention, and leaving. Visualize your great-grandparents in your mind's eye. See them be born, have events take place in their lives, and eventually give birth to your grandparents. Visualize your grandparents being born. See them have events take place in their lives and eventually give birth to your parents. Visualize your parents being born and see them going through the events in their lives that eventually included giving birth to you. As clearly as possible, without reacting physically, emotionally, or mentally, allow the movie of these events of your life unfold on the inner scene of your third eye. Witness the events as unattached as you can, and simply leave your attachments to all the events that have resulted in your being here, now, today, in this moment. Know that you are now on the boat ride of your life, and to look back is to reattach to your ancestors and your old karma and all the suffering that clings to it. So look ahead, free of karma, enjoy the ride, and reach out for a higher vibration. Reach out to your new future. Reach out to the fifth dimension. Take a deep breath, relax, and continue the meditation within yourself.